It's 29 minutes after 7 o'clock here on a, well, currently it is a sunny July the 6th here after the holiday weekend. And in the studio with us, we have Dr. Jessica Heffler here, and we're going to be talking about Piper.
Yeah, yes, my Piper.
Your Piper. Well, good morning. Thanks for coming
good
in
morning.
This morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Really appreciate it. Now we met, I don't believe in any accidents. I really don't. But we met at the Chamber nonprofit luncheon a couple weeks ago. And I was walking by and I talked, it was your mom that was there, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And we were chatting and she was telling me about the story and everything going on. I said, oh my gosh. I said, we just have to talk to you.
Yeah.
And then you and I got to finally meet there by the end of the luncheon or whatever. So that's how you and I originally met.
Yes.
And again, so thanks again for coming in this morning.
Oh, of course. I'm so excited.
We are so happy to have you on and share about Piper's Key. This is a heartbreakingly beautiful story of love and loss, but Piper's legacy lives on. And so Piper's Key was started recently. You have the IRS status pending for your nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
And what Piper's Key is it's an organization that gifts inclusive books to children with disabilities. Let's talk about how, and I need to forewarn people, you are going to need some tissues for this story. I know I did the first time I heard it, and I told Dr. Jessica, I don't know that I'll be able to keep myself together for this one. But your family is simply amazing. So if you could, walk us through forming Piper's Key.
Absolutely. So Piper is my second daughter. I have a four-year-old now, Quinn. And we had both of our pregnancies were extremely unremarkable. So I had no need to worry that anything was going on with Piper while she was in utero. And around 30 weeks gestation, I did notice she wasn't moving as much in utero, but it was, I would get the big movements, but nothing, small jabs and kicks. And I did bring that up, but, you know, they monitored her. Her heartbeat was strong. I'm pretty small. So they were like, you know, let's just, she's doing great. You know, no need to worry. So on April 23rd of 2020, right in that pandemic start, I went into labor. And when she was born, she immediately came out unable to move at all, breathe, swallow, anything. And I delivered her at Akron City, and they immediately noticed all of her neuromuscular issues. So they actually sent her off to Akron Children's. My husband went with her. And I stayed back at Akron City. My mom was fortunately able to come. So kudos to Akron City for making that work in such a questionable time during the pandemic. And over the course of those 3 weeks, they discovered that she had one of the rarest forms of spinal muscular atrophy. And it was spinal muscular atrophy type 0. And spinal muscular atrophy was the leading cause of infant death for a while. But ironically, actually, probably about the same time that we discovered she was pregnant, they had come out with treatment available for type 1 and up, which is babies that start to lose their muscle function around 2 to 3 months of age. So for Piper, unfortunately, everything was lost, unable to move, breathe, anything in utero. So there wasn't much choices that we had. We had the choice to either bring her home with not much of a quality of life for her, and we had to think of Quinn as well, and or we could set her free. And one thing with spinal muscular atrophy is it's very similar to ALS. You are cognitively okay. So we would just look in her eyes and she was there, and you could see a lot of just her being trapped. And they used the term that she was locked in her body. So that really resonated with us. Locks have kind of become our little thing in the family. And so we decided on May 20th with Akron Children's. They helped us plan her final goodbye, and we were going to give her the key. So we went. They let us we wanted her to be outside. We knew that we wanted her to have that opportunity. So we took her outside with her vent behind us and the palliative care family that we had and NICU nurses that were our family as well. And when we sat down in front of a hydrangea bush out in that square, the little raindrops kind of came. It was such an amazing moment at the same time as heartbreaking. But then the sun came out right when we decided to pull her tube. And she passed in 6 minutes at 4:32 on May 20th. And we like to say that we gave her her key. So Piper's key kind of, there's a part of me that felt that I really still wanted her legacy to be as if she was here. And I work in special education. I'm an educational audiologist here in the Medina County area. And I knew that I wanted to make an impact, not for the loss, but for something as if she lived. She just needed 27 days. We all want our children to make a difference in the world, and she did. She just didn't need as long. So Piper's Key was launched on April 23rd, her first birthday, as a little gift to her. And we actually, I kind of calculated the books. We've gifted over 400 books so far. 200 plus, I would say, we're now, because I just dropped off more, almost 300 books to Akron Children's within their communities. We've given to Nationwide in Columbus. And then I also have the opportunity to mail books to any child across the U.S. that would need a book. So yeah, that's a little bit. That's not a little bit. That was a long-winded story, but.
But you know, your perspective earlier when we were talking was that you're just raising her a different way.
Yeah,
yeah, it's really beautiful when you have something on your Facebook page that says a life doesn't need to be long to be beautiful, and I've sat and just thought about that. You guys are absolutely extraordinary, and her life is absolutely living on.
Now, all the books that you give the kids, they are some are written by authors, some are written by other children, and they are about living with disabilities or different things in your life, that whether it's a disability or whatever it is, that help other children realize that. You know, that you know, normal for you and I is that doorknob there. But if that doorknob was up on the top, that wouldn't be normal for us. So yep. What might be normal for the world, it could be normal for them if things might be rearranged a little bit differently or looked at differently. So it helps. It's there are books that help kids realize that I'm different from you only because of how the walls are built, so to speak.
Absolutely. I feel that, and I totally felt it even in those 27 days, that parents focus so much, and they need to, on that medical and the developmental, and all of that is focused when you have a child that's going through any sort of disability, and it can be ranging across that spectrum, and there's various tools, but the one thing that they don't get that opportunity to really focus on is that self-concept and that self-representation, and you know, the books are the first media piece that we give our child, any child. And to not see yourself in the first media piece is so impactful. And so, you know, I think that the minute they can open a book and see it on their bookshelf without question is so powerful that they can do anything. So I really just make sure that the books that I have are part of that disability community. I want them to have a voice. I don't want it to be something that is just written in a more stereotypical light. I want it to be either from the parent's perspective, which a lot of these books are. They're from that parent's perspective on raising their child and a kind of a gift to them, their mission, if you will. And then I have a lot of books that are written by the kid themselves, which is beautiful, and I think those are such fun books. And then I also have a lot of professionals that have written books that work directly with the kids. So they talk a lot about their tools. And I find that my mission would love to eventually see these, and I have that opportunity, but in the mainstream. They end up being more of a powerful message for the parents and the siblings and the friends, realizing that they are capable. And I've had a lot of parents say, thank you for just allowing me to see that my child's more than her or his disability, and but that their disability doesn't have to stop them.
Now, of course, you know. Go ahead, Tina. Go.
Sorry, in the movie Wonder, my favorite line, and I've used it over and over and over, is when given the choice to be right or be kind, always choose kind. Mm-hmm. And I bet that that's the basis for a lot of the books that you have, too.
Absolutely. And they just tell a story. It's kind of just like, hey, we're different, but yeah, be kind. In the end, that's all that matters. And, you know, that's something, it really came to me when I was reading. There's these books that I got that focused on SMA. And, you know, I wanted Quinn to learn a little bit about it. She had so many questions. And I realized, you know, through books is how she can learn. And that's when it kind of sparked that this could get in the hands of so many other kids as well, so they can see that. And, yeah, that inclusive, you know, how to include in the world is not just adding them to a classroom or talking about it. It's really seeing them everywhere.
And of course, your you know, Piper's Key is very new.
Very new.
Yeah, I mean, literally, the ink isn't dry on some of your paperwork.
Not at all.
So how are you, I mean, at least, and again, I can just see this really taking off to a point to where you'll have to do things differently because it will become so popular. But right now, how are you getting, if someone's listening, it says, oh my gosh, I have a child that could just, that would love some of this. How are you getting the books and things here, at least initially, out to all the kids?
Absolutely. So right now we are 100% run on donations. I'm doing quite a bit of fundraisers. So if you follow me on Facebook or Instagram, I do have those informations and blasts often put on there. But essentially we're all run through donations, and you can go to piperskey.com. And on there, you can also send a child a book. It will go directly to an email, and it will have all that information if you do want to send a child a book. No cost to them. I mean, again, I just want that to be something they get. Or if you'd like to donate, you want to be a part of this, and you want to see how you can help. It's so much just promotion, mm-hmm. getting the word out that we can help those kids. And then I'm obviously needing to buy the books from the authors, and I try to support the moms as well that are writing these. So any donation, anything at all helps.
Mm-hmm. You know, this reminds me a lot in the library format of Jan Householder and the Giving Doll. I don't know if you're familiar with them. You know, and look what that organization has reached out for kids just with a doll to hug. And so immediately I thought, oh my gosh, this is phenomenal here. So
Thank you.
So how many? I mean, and again, you're new. So how many? How many books have gone out so far, do you know?
So over 400, I know that. I want to say now, and I was going to count right before, and then Quinn, 4-year-old, and so I did not get a chance to count. But we are upwards now of either 400, creeping to that 500 mark. I just ordered another huge supply from a lot of my companies, I mean, the authors. And so, yeah, we are just rocking and rolling. And I love dropping off those books. And like I said, we just really want to make sure that they're in as many hands as possible. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, my way of being Piper's mom. It's a different way to raise her. But I'm so, so, so proud of her and my daughter Quinn. And, you know, yeah, would I have her here? Absolutely, but I can't. And so this is my way of having her here in a different way and having her name spoken positively and not just sad.
You know, we do a lot with the American Blind Golf Association and everything here, and we had had some golfers in one time that we were just talking about, you know, when they became blind or something happened, how their life changed. And with the one golfer that sat there and said that, you know, my eyesight was my handicap. When I lost my eyesight, I've been able to do all these other wonderful things. And so, again, it's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's really perspective. And so to be able to do that, like you said, you know, maybe the 27 days might have been here, but, you know, here means what, you know?
Yeah.
What does here really mean? So, yeah, that's...
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely how you look at it. And it's hard. The grief journey is definitely has its days, and this has been a huge help in especially launching that 1 year mark is a big milestone in the grief world. And often I say this, and I think a lot of parents that have maybe gone through this, the loss of a child, it's one of the hardest things. That's why there's no name for it. But it's, I, as much as I would do to give her back, I mean, have her back, I wouldn't change who I've become and what I've come from her short life. You know, so much wonder and amazing things have come.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again,
and it's something only, you know, those of us who've experienced something like that can understand. Yeah, that was perfectly said.
Mm-hmm. And again, that, you know, that's part of the reason, Jessica, that I wanted you, a lot of times we'll do interviews in the 8 o'clock hour. You know, of course, I wanted Tina to be on too because she's experienced that in in a little different format, so to speak. But nonetheless, mm-hmm. that's just one of those things that, you can't say unless you've gone through it. I know what you're going through, or I can imagine what you're going through. No, no one can. And so, but and again, to make such a positive impact on that is phenomenal. So
thank you.
I know this is really inspiring me. We had a stillborn baby boy in 2018, in May of 2018, actually. And, you know, I've been, there's something about, you're so right on the grief journey, that 1 year mark. Mm-hmm. I can't explain it. But also the beauty that has come from the loss is almost as inexplainable.
Oh yeah.
And I've been trying to think of, you know, I want to honor him as well. And your story with Piper's Key just inspires me to keep thinking about what that might be. I hope I'm not overstepping here, but I, you know, when we lost our baby, the number 5 was everywhere. May 5th, he was, 0.35 pounds, super, super teeny, and 5 inches long. I mean, the number 5 was
everywhere.
And my husband brought it to my attention, and he was, and that's been my husband's sports number his whole life.
Wow.
And so biblically, we are a Christian family, and we looked up the number 5, and it's symbolic of God's grace.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And so,
wow.
For you, when I heard Piper's Key, I was like, man, 27 days. Her life was 27 days. I wanted to look up that number. And biblically, I don't know if you've already done this, but
I haven't.
Very often, the number 27 is considered to be the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it's said that the number 27 can symbolize divine light, better told, the light that is appearing in the darkness. And I thought, my gosh, could there be anything more symbolic for your story?
I love that. I did not know that at all. And I'm learning that new things every day. I mean, I see the signs every day.
Yes.
And it's like her, and just like the number 5, it's their way of saying, it's okay, I'm here.
Yes.
You can still talk about me.
Yes.
People will often say, when, you know, how many kids do you have? And I'll say 2, and I'll talk about it. And then they'll be like, oh, I'm so sorry, like I brought it up. I'm like, no, don't worry. You bringing her up isn't going to make it that I didn't, you know.
Right.
I'm always thinking about her, just as I'm always thinking of Quinn.
I've always said, you know, the worst college poster is time heals all wounds.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want it to.
No.
Because that means that whatever that wound was, that you forgot it, and you don't want to forget it. That is the worst saying in the world, and you don't want time to heal. You need to learn to accept it, but to heal the wound means you have totally forgotten that, and you don't want that.
I don't.
No.
I don't want to, and this was my way, you know, of allowing it to not be so centered around the sadness. As much as it's already there, we're not getting rid of that.
Right.
But thank you so much for sharing that number with me. That was very special.
Well, you're so welcome. And I had the same, wow. It took my breath away when I read that and had just finished reading your story. And I thought, I hope it's okay that I share that with you. It was,
absolutely.
It's just beautiful. And Piper's story and legacy is so beautiful. For our listeners, one more time, if you could share the website and how someone could get involved.
Absolutely. So the website is piperskey.com, and we are on Facebook and Instagram. How you can help is through donations, but if that is not something you're able to do, you can also send a child a book. We all know someone that is going through something, and you can request, I will find a book for them. So that information is also on the website. You can also just share. So if you are on social media and you feel comfortable doing so, just share on our page, get that mission out, because you never know who you're helping. And I think that's just the biggest thing here, just moving forward. And we are just wanting to unlock representation for every kid out there.
Oh, what a heartbreakingly beautiful story. But your family is just simply sensational. Wishing you all the very best, and what a blessing to have you on the morning show today.
Thank you again. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Very good. It is 10 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock here on 97.1 Wadsworth Community Radio.